Morning. We are continuing the Haftarah of Parshas Ekev, again from the words of Yeshayahu. These are words of Nechama. Nechama does not mean that everything is all better, but it means that we can stop being depressed and broken and try to look in a more positive way of how to be constructive. So we started with Mem Tes, Yod Daled. That's where the Haftarah of Ekev starts. We weren't being so creative there. We're just following the lead. So the starts off Vatomer Tzionu Zavani Hashem VaAdonai Shechechani, that Tzion said that Hashem has forsaken me, and he forgot about me. And the very next pasuk says, Hasishkach Isha Ulam. So it's not possible. Right away, what we see is a perspective change, that we're being instructed to see things differently. That's the first two psukim. The first one is basically a Tisha B'Av pasuk, and the next one is a Shabbos Nachma pasuk. It's Hashem has forsaken us, Hashem hates us, Hashem forgot about us. She says, not only do I not hate you, not only did I not forsake you, like even like the lightest, and I didn't forget about you. It's not possible. Of course, the word eshkachech is the first thing we think of when we hear the word eshkachech. Right? So Hashem says, especially if you did Tisha B'Av properly, you didn't forget Yerushalayim, I'm not forgetting you. Hashem says that if we are invested in this relationship, He is also Kaviyachol. Of course, Hashem always is. But this is a two-way street. This is a two-way relationship. And when we sit on Tisha B'Av and the 3 weeks, 9 days, and we mourn over the Churban, and we mourn over the status of our relationship with Hashem, then Hashem says, so now I'm in the picture. If you go through the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, and don't feel anything, don't mourn any lack of connection or complications in our relationship with Hashem, then Hashem says, we have nothing to work with. Sometimes you need to feel the lack of something, you know. But if you don't even feel that, it's something that you don't notice in the least bit. Then you don't have much of a relationship there. Hashem is saying, I'm suggesting pshat over here is that just of lo ashkachich. Hashem says, I did not forget you. And that's because we didn't forget him. Tisha B'Av. And now we can talk about this Nechama. If you're not tapped in to the calendar, if you're not tapped into the Parshios, to the Haftaros, to the Yom Tovim, then a lot of things won't really apply properly. You know, if you weren't down at all during the 3 weeks, then the Nechama isn't really felt. You have to be in tune with the calendar, the Parshios, the Haftaros in general. And if you are in tune with that, you'll be able to appreciate every step along the way. He continues, Hein al kapayim chakosich, chomosayich negdi tamid. So behold, on palms, chakosich, I have, the person says, it's a lesson of chakika, engraving. I have engraved you on my palms. Chomosayich negdi tamid. And your walls are before me always. So the Mefarshim over here say that Chomosayich, what does it mean, your walls? So they say that, right, Radak, for example, Chomosayich ha'arusos, destroyed walls, meaning like your broken down walls. So what does this mean, that you're engraved on my palms? Who's talking, first of all? Hashem. Talking to Klal Yisrael through Yeshayahu. He says, you are engraved on my palms, and your destroyed walls are before me always. So what might that mean?
Everything he does, he has in mind.
Okay, good. So if something's on your palms, if something is on your palms, that means that you see it. What does chakika imply, being engraved? So yeah, Rosh Hashanah Chakika would imply permanence. Right? You're engraved into the palms. And there's something very just very loving and nurturing about the palms of the hands, right? When you have like, I don't know, like a butterfly or a chick that hopefully wasn't killed, or you have it in your hands and you're caring for it, or you pick it up carefully. There's something very, very, gentle and loving about that. So he says, Hashem says, you're in my hands, but permanently. You're engraved. And your walls are engraved, are before me constantly. Right? Where else do we have this lesson of Negdi Tamid? Negdi Tamid. Negdi Tamid, before me always. So I think what along lines of what you're saying is that before davening, right, Shivisi Hashem, Negdi Tamid, right, it's the beginning, very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. We have to place Hashem before us always. Words of David HaMelech. Many people have this written on. Like in the front of a shul, and that definitely where the chazan is davening. It's placing Hashem before us always, not just during davening. It's constantly. There are gedolim who have claimed that they had reached their high level of avos and yiras Hashem because they never went 15 minutes without thinking about that, placing Hashem before me always. So we see over here, and this is big, and we'll see this even more throughout the words of Yeshayahu. This reciprocity. There's a two-way street with our relationship and with Hashem. The way He relates to us, and the way we relate to Him. That we say Mishkachech Yishayim, and He says Anochi Lo Eshkachech. That we say Shivisi Hashem Lo Negdi Tamid, and He says that Chomosayech Negdi Tamid. I'm constantly thinking about your destroyed walls. The walls, not just of the Beis HaMikdash, but your walls, the walls of your homes that you were settled in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael before you were exiled. So Hashem says, I'm thinking about that always. Sometimes you have a relationship and there's something that's painful in the relationship, and there's a distance, but you don't realize, and you feel like, okay, there's a distance in the relationship, but you don't necessarily know that the other side, how much they mourn the distance between you and that other party. Hashem says, the destroyed walls, which are a symbol of the disconnect in our relationship, Hashem says, I can't stop thinking about that. Chomosayech negdi tamid, constantly I'm thinking about the destroyed walls. And I wish I could rebuild. I wish I could rebuild Yerushalayim. I wish I could rebuild. I'm just not able to. Hashem says, kaviyach, my hands are tied, so to speak, because there has to be a system, as we spoke about yesterday. There has to be a system of din b'cheshbon, and there has to be observing Torah and mitzvot and living up to the standard that Klal Yisrael has. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. The great standard of Klal Yisrael. We have to live up to that standard, otherwise we can't live in Yerushalayim. We can't live in Eretz Yisrael. But it hurts Hashem. He says, "Miharu banai, hurry up." Are your children, he's talking to, I guess, Yerushalayim, your children should hurry up. Hurry up to do what? Rashi says, Lashuv, to return. Which means two things. What do we mean by return, Lashuv?
Return to the land or return to Hashem.
Okay, so there's physical returning to the land, right? That's what we hope to do. But also, it's returning to Hashem. Of tshuva. Which one comes first?
The
It could be depends for who. It could be depends for who. For whom. So who's doing this, right? But it could be that there's going to be some Jews doing tshuva first, and then they'll be returned to the land. Some people will return to the land first, and then the tshuva will happen because they'll see what's going on there. But there's a request. Hurry up, children of Yerushalayim, return to the land, return to Hashem. Maharsayach umacharivayach mimech yetzayu. The different words of like for destroyers, like spoilers and destroyers from you, they're going to go out. We're not going to have any more trouble. Se'isa vivenayich, raise your eyes, look all around. Uri and see, kulam nikvitsu va'olach, all of them, they are gathering to you. Chayani nu'um Hashem. By my life, the word of Hashem, kichulam ka'adis labashi us kashrim kakala, that all of you are going to be adorned like jewelry, and uskashrim kakala, and they're going to be adorned, different word for adorned, be decked like a kala. And this is a surprise. And it's a little bit harder to appreciate the surprise for all of us that grew up in a world where Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim are settled. But anybody who was around after the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni and the close to 2,000 years that followed, so you could never have imagined Eretz Yisrael looking the way it looks today. Not to say that the way it looks today is the way it's supposed to be. Obviously not. This time there will not be any cars driving around on Shabbos. I mean, I don't know what the guys are going to be allowed to do on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot in Eretz Yisrael that's not what it's supposed to be, but the fact that it's inhabited, the fact that it's beautiful, the fact that things grow there, that people go there to visit, it's a place worth going to. That's something that's unexpected. And we're going to see Yerushalayim's reaction to such a thought. No way. It can't be. Impossible. After a Korban, we don't appreciate it because we've always grown up this way. But there are many, many accounts, as a famous one of Mark Twain, but many accounts of people just describing the land, the emptiness of Eretz Yisrael ever since we were exiled. And then since we've been back, less than 100 years where we've really been settling the land, what's become of it is nothing short of miraculous unless you don't know anything about history of Israel. So, everyone, and then he has to say, Chayani, Nu'um Hashem. Like this promise from Hashem that it's going to be, because this is unbelievable. Now, of course, Yeshayahu is talking. When does Yeshayahu live? Does he live after Churban Bayis Rishon? When does Yeshayahu live? Before. So, what's fascinating about this part of Yeshayahu, this Sefer, this half of the Sefer from Nachamu Ami and on, Yeshayahu is giving a nechama for a Churban that did not yet happen. That's planning in advance, right? That's really, really getting at it. He says all the things with the Churban. He spends the first half of the Sefer telling about the destruction. And then he says, but after that, as sure as the destruction will be, right? If you are reading this post-Churban, you know it's true. Therefore, you should also know that these other words are true. That there's going to be a return, and it's going to seem impossible. But Chayaninu Hashem, I swear, it's the word of God that there will be returning to Yerushalayim, and that everyone's going to be dressed in with this jewelry and be adorned like a kala. And nowadays too, but it used to be there was special jewelry for kalas. Does anybody know how many articles of jewelry there were for a kala? No? You don't know your kala history? Come on, guys.
Yeah.
No? Right. So it used to be that she had 24 special pieces of jewelry. That's It's part of why 24 Sifrei Tanakh are connected to that, as well as the 24 Prakim of Masech Shabbos. Shabbos is a challah, Shabbos Malchus. Okay. At the next non-COVID wedding, take a look and see and count the amount of earrings she has. Okay. So Kichor Masech V'Shama Masech V'Eretz Harisu Seich. Now the so it continues talking about these the ruins, the Chorvosayach. Chorvos, the ruins, the Shema Masayach, the places that are desolate. There is Harisu Seich, and the land that was basically destroyed or spoiled. Ki ata teitzri miyoshe v'rachaku mivaloyach. Because now they, so we're going to see an interesting line here that we're probably used to. But now, Tetri Miyoshev, there's going to be like a pressure, a tsara, from settling the land. Mefarshim explain that there's going to be this dachak, because so many people are going to be there, so there's going to be like a pressure filling the land. V'rachaku Mival Ayach. Where do we know that phrase from? V'rachaku Mival Ayach. The Chadodi. We're actually going to see a lot of them. Over the next 6 weeks in the Haftaros, we're going to see a lot of phrases from Lecha Dodi. And what you're going to appreciate about Lecha Dodi is that, you know, it's not just like a beautiful poem, but it's a beautiful poem based on Pesukim and Tanakh. It's written by somebody who knew all of Tanakh and who knew all of Shas and knew a lot of Kabbalah. Rosh Levi Alkabetz, right, from Tzfas. So he knew Tanakh, he knew Shas, he knew lots of Kabbalah, and then he wrote a poem. It's like, oh, that's a nice poem. It's like, it's not roses are red, violets are blue. It's like, it's a really, really complex poem filled with lots of halachic and kabbalistic connotations. And we're going to see where he draws the phrases from. When you just see that in the words of Yeshayahu, it's beautiful to see. And we'll discuss this phrase in particular tomorrow as we see Hashem and Yeshayahu talking to Yerushalayim.